Lord bless you all this morning. Then I just was sitting down the back there watching everybody come in, and it's just when people come in silent prayer, you just feel the atmosphere change like that. And you feel the Lord move down. And just what a privilege that is to know that He's here with us this morning. Lord bless you, Sister Marty, I believe it is, from Taranaki. Just bow our heads in prayer this morning. Precious Jesus, Lord. Lord, we come this morning, Lord, to meet with you, Lord. If we came for any other reason, Lord, we would meet in vain, Lord. And what a privilege, Lord, just to know that you have come to meet with us, Lord, and just to feel your presence, Lord, and feel your call, Lord, that wooing of your Holy Spirit, Lord, upon our lives, Lord, and on our hearts this morning, Lord. And I just pray for each one here this morning, Lord, that we just reach out and touch you, Lord, as you pass by, Lord. And for those that might be watching and listening, Lord, for them also, Lord Jesus, not that they might just watch, Lord, but they might receive from you this morning, Lord. And I just pray a blessing upon our time, Lord, and just welcome you and thank you for being here. In Jesus' name, amen. Should we just stand and sing number 182? We're together again.
We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising.
Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noontime.
Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Love in the morning.
205. We've come into this house. Focus on Him this morning. It's all about Him. Sing, I serve a risen Savior.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living no more.
Privilege to know him, you know? And just to know when that presence comes down, some people might not recognize it, but you know who it is. Let's sing number 247, and then I'll ask Sister Pauline if she would bring your item.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and cast one glimpse of him in glory, the toils of life remain. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his new chief will be born. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see in the course of him. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
You may be seated. Thank you, Sister Pauline. Sister Pauline, it's a beautiful song. So prayer requests at this time. The other thing was, is there communion this afternoon? Is there? Okay, so there is communion this afternoon. I believe the only new prayer request on the internet was for Sister Angie with arthritis. There was no others, any from the congregation? Sister Jim? Absolutely. Any others? Unspoken? Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, Lord, we come before you again, Lord, knowing that, Lord, we can do nothing in ourselves, Lord Jesus, but, Lord, we just come to the one who can do all things, Lord, and, Lord, whose ear is just waiting, Lord, to hear from us, Lord, and, Lord, we just come with faith, Lord, on behalf of others, Lord Jesus, and unspoken and prayer requests, Lord, that we have within our hearts, Lord, even for our own families, Lord Jesus, Lord, and we just pray for this Sister June's cousin, Lord, Phil Douglas, Lord, for Parkinson's, Lord Jesus. Lord, there's, Lord, you can heal that.
Amen.
There's no reason why you can't do it, Lord, so we just look to you, Lord, with faith, and just reach out. On behalf of him as well, Lord, we just put our faith behind it. Lord, that your hand of mercy will touch him, Lord, and heal him completely from this Parkinson's, Lord. And for Sister Angie, Lord, who seems to just, Lord, need a real touch from you, Lord. And, Lord, that she can reach out with faith that she has, Lord, that you've given her on her own, Lord, just to touch you, Lord, and receive from you, Lord Jesus. You said that without faith it is impossible to please God, Lord. So we just come believing that you are almighty God, Lord, this morning. We just say thank you for answered prayer as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Should we stand and sing a few more and then I'll ask Brother Howard to come? I saw love, mercy and grace.
I saw love, mercy and grace. I saw love.
you think there's anything untrue about those statements? Thank you, Brother Hill.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God this morning. We pray that the Lord will bless us all here and those who will be joining with us. May God bless you. Nice to have Sister Leah up in the control room, filling in and learning the ropes. That's good. Praise the Lord. To help out while we're away, because Nancy's going away and Brother Paul's going away too. So hopefully she'll fill the gap. Thank you, Sister Leah. Sister Marty, it's really nice to have you with us. God bless you. Been serving the Lord a long time, and he's been faithful all the way. Isn't that wonderful? Who loves the Lord? Say me. Brother Peter and Sister Bubs are away down in Hawke's Bay. The Vi family, they contacted me yesterday and said they're still in Auckland, but they're going to miss us. But they're going to try and join into the service on the internet. So may the Lord bless all that would be joining with us. So may God bless each one. You know, it's really good to serve the Lord. You know, he's always faithful. His mercies are new every morning. You know, and we read a text last night with Sister Marty. I was really blessed because I didn't know this, but we read the scripture in Lamentations 3 where it says that if it wasn't for the Lord, we'd all be consumed. Now, that's the truth. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. He's keeping you every hour. And Sister, after it finished, she said, "Brother, I've got that on my computer screen, on the front screen, on my home, on my desktop. That very scripture." So that was really nice, confirming what we've just been reading, and I thank the Lord for that. So enjoy that song, Sister Pauline. Now, who wrote that? Was it St. Francis? Way back, hundreds of years ago. Very blessed. I think St. Francis or somebody like that. One of those great brothers whom God moved upon and used in a significant way. But we just thank the Lord for the fellowship here today. I know there's not too many here, but we miss the Hughes family. And Brother Bill and family, if you're watching, we're missing you, brother. We'd like you to be with us. Who believes that? Amen. Of course. You know, it's just something about coming together. And we just pray the Lord will bless you all up there, up the coast, and all those that normally join with us. May God bless you too. Now, this morning I want to speak about this gospel of the kingdom. This gospel of the kingdom. And I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word from the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Thank you, Sister Merle. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. Excuse me. It just says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." May God bless that to our hearts. I also want to read one other verse from Romans chapter 1, verse 16, which says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Isn't that wonderful? "To the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So I just pray that the Lord will quicken this thought to us this morning. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we truly thank you for the gospel. And Lord, we're not ashamed of it. No, Lord. We love it. It's the saving of our soul. The preaching of the gospel saves souls. It's the preaching for the foolishness of preaching that people are saved. So, Lord, we just pray that we won't slacken off, but, Lord, we'll be more fervent to preach the gospel without compromise and purity and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We're praying that you'll do that. Even this morning, Lord, we pray for your anointing to be on every person, their speakers and the hearers. Lord, we commit this to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May you bless it to every heart, is my prayer. We commit this to you, Lord, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I was talking to a brother who said when he was in America, a brother showed him a letter or read him something that Brother Branham had written to him years ago. And he said that at the end time, at the end, the gospel of Jesus Christ will come into focus and power. And all these other things that we hear about, which are not the gospel, will just fade away, and the gospel will be emphasized, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit will be emphasized right to the end. Who's glad of that? So we probably still have a job to do at the last. But it's really wonderful. I just love the presence of God. As Brother Tim said, when you're sensitive, you can feel him come to you. It's just marvelous. So this gospel of the kingdom we want to speak about, we need to understand from God's point of view who this gospel is for, where are we taking it, this gospel, and also what can we expect the gospel to produce, and to be aware of the resistance against it. I tell you, Satan hates the gospel. If you see people sneering at the gospel, look out. There's something wrong. So it's really important to refocus concerning the gospel, this gospel. And it's amazing to see how many men everywhere have moved away from the original commission. And this is a great tragedy to me. Brother and sister, we really need to focus. What are we doing? What do we really say we believe? But we just don't want to think about others, what they are doing. We need to think about us, not worrying about other churches or other persuasions. We really should be focusing on ourselves. And we need to examine our own minds and hearts from God's point of view. You know, there's a lot of water has gone under the bridge since Jesus instructed the church many years ago. As he says in Mark 16:15, we're all familiar with it. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Who believes that? Say amen. He wants you to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. And this is a very powerful statement. Missing out nobody, to every creature. You know, sometimes we get a bit picky. Oh, I don't think I'll talk to them. I don't think they'll ever listen. Don't do that. Don't ever do that, brother and sister. If God lays it on your heart to preach to somebody, or when I say preach, I mean speak or witness, and God opens the door, then we should be mindful to speak and with compassion and love in our hearts to that person. You can't say, oh, they don't look like that, they're too far gone or whatever. Look at Saul, who became Paul. He was a renegade to the early church. They feared him. But he was God's servant. You can't, you just cannot pick and choose. And you might see somebody, oh, they're a really lovely person. They've got a nice nature. Everything about them is just so blending. They'll listen. Find out they don't. Because the seed of God has got to be in you. And if the seed of God is in you and you hear the word of God, you respond to the word of God. Praise be to the name of the Lord. So we've got to go out and preach to every creature. That's the people at work. That's the postman, as we say. That's everybody around you, your family. We should be willing to preach the gospel. And shame on the person that doesn't. You'll have to answer on the day of judgment. If you hold back, you refrain from preaching the gospel because you'll fear what they might think of you. Brothers and sisters, too late in the day, we should be telling. Get out and tell every creature. This gospel needs to be heard. Really does. We really need to, brother and sister. It's such a great need. So who does the gospel belong to? Is another question. Who does this gospel belong to? The gospel belongs to the kingdom of God. We just read in the beginning. The gospel of the kingdom does not belong to any preacher, does not belong to any church, does not belong exclusively to any particular group or persuasion. It's really amazing to, you know, if you've been around as much as I have and you see so many churches around the world, they have, well, they claim this and they claim that, but listen, it was given to the entire world as the only hope of salvation. The gospel is the only hope of salvation. Do I have any believers here?
Amen.
Amen. It's the only hope of salvation. And God's going to hold you accountable, and he's going to hold me accountable, and he's going to hold you folks out there accountable too. It's a big question, isn't it? A serious thing. To every nation, kindred and tongue, as Jesus said in verse 14 of Matthew 24, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I love that positive statement. This gospel shall be preached unto all nations. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, brother and sister, we've got a nation right here in New Zealand that really needs the gospel. We're in a bad way. South Africa is too. Everywhere. We really need to get out and preach this gospel, our last push before his coming. So that's something to think about. And another thing is, the Bible says the end won't come until this happens. So we're a part of God's end time plan. Don't think, oh, we're not too many people. Never think that. The church in Ephesus was smaller than this. So you don't want to start counting numbers. It means nothing. I said to our sister, I'd rather have 10 in church that really love the Lord than 150 would just love to come to sing and have a nice time. Who loves the Lord? Say amen. He's wonderful. And brothers and sisters, we're here to proclaim the gospel to you and to all those who are with us today. So the end won't come until this happens. How is it? I want to ask a question before we move on. How is it most churches claim the gospel, their gospel, for themselves and their members? Now, you might say, oh, no, we don't. Listen, it does happen. I'm not saying we are, hope not, I pray not that we are. But it's, even in this message, we could say as well, It is understood that we are the ones, nobody else. Something wrong with that. Something wrong with that. That is not God's motivation. He said, go out. He didn't say come to the church. He said, get out of the church. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Who believes that message is for us today? Absolutely. But they say we have it all. And the rest are not included in the elect group. They're all elect and nobody else is elect. You know, it's just so bad. May God never, ever let that spirit come in here. Most churches in some way or another claim exclusive rights to the kingdom. They hold exclusively rights to the kingdom. You've got to come to our church. I've heard people say, if you don't come to our church or if you don't sit under our ministry, you won't be in the bride. And we know they're just living on Pluto to say that because the scriptures say nothing about that. You don't have to come to this church. You don't have to hear a certain preacher. You just need the Holy Spirit to speak to you through His Word and quicken His Word to you. And when you believe, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. My wife heard a statement the other day. Brother Branham said, I'm going to quote it. He said, do you know right now, everybody in the world is saved. Right now. Everybody in the world is healed. Right now. Amen. He said, all they need to do is receive it.
Amen.
You know, doesn't it take the struggle out of it? Oh, I've got to do this, I've got to study, I've got to pray for 5 hours, and all those things may be nice. But that is nothing to do with salvation. You're saved because Jesus Christ died for you, and His blood was shed for you, and He took all my sin and your sin upon His body, and He paid very badly for it. I really love the Lord today. I just think He's so wonderful. Do you think He's wonderful?
Amen.
Is He your friend?
Amen.
Is He your comforter?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so we see it's these things we need to examine ourselves. Such a subtle thing that can even affect ourselves and not realize it. It can be an attitude thing. Oh, you know, people say, oh, we have the message. Won't go there. They've gone the same way as all other churches. You go down to this church, we're the ones. We have the truth. Every church says, we have the truth. That's not it, brother and sister. Has Jesus Christ come into your heart? Do you know Him as a personal Savior? Do you know Him as the Lord of your life? Are you willing to obey all of His Word or just some of His Word? These are the things we need to examine in our hearts. But what is our attitude with the truth to others? You know, Brother Branham never, never took that attitude. I know it. I know it. I've spoken to Billy Paul a few times and he shared things with me about his father. And brothers and sisters, the truth of the matter is that he had a wonderful attitude towards every human being. And so should we. More times than not, Brother Branham was found amongst the denominational churches. That's the truth. We know he brought a word for this age. Yes. But he did not exclude people. Never. Never. How could he when Jesus said, go out to every creature and preach this gospel? This message is the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. It is. It's back to its original fullness. Who believes that? Say amen. Absolutely it is. And even though they disagreed with him on several things, he loved them just the same. I just think that's so wonderful. He fellowshiped with them. Brother and sister, you know, I've gone out and I've gone to all sorts of churches. All sorts. I don't say now, are they in the message? Oh, if they're not in the message, I can't go there. What? Jesus said, go out and tell them. We don't stick to our little group. We're the ones and, you know, we all come along. We all get together. We all preach to each other. We all say amen and praise the Lord to each other.
We feel really comfortable. You get out in the temple like Jesus did and started debating with the Pharisees. That's what we should be doing. Not debating, but preaching. Living the life. Living this word. Not just speaking about it. In Jesus' day, it was exactly the same. The church kicked out a man. Kicked him out. He had just been healed by Jesus. And he gave his testimony. In the testimony time, he gave his testimony. I was once blind. This man came along and he touched me. And now I can see. And they said, thou wast altogether born in sin. And dost thou teach us? What an attitude. You know where that comes from? Hell. That spirit. And the Bible says they cast him out. The fact was, those Pharisees, they were also altogether born in sin, and their Bible said so. They just didn't even know the word. They were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. They never identified themselves with the word of God. If he didn't come from our church, we don't want to hear him. That is so prevalent. But Jesus went to fellowship in the temple with them, just the same. He went in there. Even 12 years old. Imagine a 12-year-old debating with the priests. Who loves the Lord? He was happy to be among sinners, like the woman at the well. He didn't say, how many times have you been to church? He just said, go get your husband. Remember the story? She said, I don't have a husband. He said, that's right, you had five. The one you've got now is not yours. She says, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. When the Messiah cometh, he'll tell us these things. And Jesus said, I am he. The lights went on in that woman. She dropped her water pot. And that prostitute became a preacher. And she ran into the city. Said, come see a man that's told me everything I ever did. Well, he didn't tell her everything. But she knew that he would know.
That's right.
And all the men of the city all came out to hear Jesus. They all came. Before, they wouldn't even have anything to do with her. Now they believe her testimony. But you know why? She was anointed of God. She had something in her soul where she wanted to tell everybody. Come see a man that's told me all the things I ever did. I tell you what, brother and sister, if you sat at the feet of Jesus or even come in a prayer line of Brother Brennan's and God said, Diane, that'll change you forever. Change me. Whatever. He knows your name. He knows where you've been. He knows what you're thinking. He knows whether you're sincere. He knows whether you're just going along with this and that. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Word of God, which is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So she was really changed, this woman. He allowed a woman, a prostitute, to wash his feet. So, oh, brother, he shouldn't be associated with those people. Why not? They need a Savior. He came to heal the sick, not those that are well. And brothers and sisters, and with tears of repentance, her sins were forgiven her. Now, if Jesus said, oh, go away, unclean woman, out of here, her sins would have never been forgiven. But she washed his feet with the tears and the hair of her head. I tell you what, I would have loved to have been there. What a service that would have been. There was Simon all smug. You know, he didn't speak it out, but he thought in his heart, if he was a prophet, he would know what sort of woman she is. You know what? Jesus did know, and he cared for her. You know, brothers and sisters, we know there's people in those conditions. We should care for them, love them, have compassion for their souls. They cross this river, it's all over. They're going to have to face eternity. So these things are very important to me. I'm sure they're important to you. We need to do it.
So we see we're going to go out. The highways and the hedges. You won't get highways and hedges in this church. You only get pews. Or in any other church. Now, I'm not saying we don't come together. I think it's wonderful we do. But brothers and sisters, we're going to get out to the highways and the byways where people need. They need the gospel. There's people starving in this city for the gospel. Not churchianity. Not going there to just come into a program and sit down and sing certain songs and clap our hands. They want to find Christ. And we are responsible to tell them the way of salvation. It's absolutely true. So who is this gospel of the kingdom for? All the world. You want to know? All the world. Not just the message circles, as we said before. We love to get amongst believers, that's good. But brothers and sisters, don't let us be focused there. Your actual job is to go out to the highways and byways. And you know, the last call before Jesus comes, you all know the parable he gave. They went out, no one came. He said, those that were bidden were not worthy. Now go out to the highways and byways, and he uses a word, compel. The word compel is more than just say, oh, I wonder if they'd like to hear about it. You must hear this. You must hear. Like the man that's over here the other day came to our church here and over the office. I said to him, are you a Christian? He said, oh, well, no, not really. Well, and he said, I'm on the fence. I said, don't stay on the fence. That's dangerous. He looked at me, why? I said, we're living in the last days. The coming of the Lord is near. You need to find God. He said, well, I used to go to church. I used to go to the Anglican church, you know, now and again. I said, listen, brother, you need to find the Lord. I gave him our card. He said, there's a church right here. You can come here. You can listen online. Maybe he's listening now. God bless you, my brother. He might be listening right now. And I pray that he'll get that satisfying portion to come into his life. All the world may not receive it, but that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to tell. And we are only asked to sow, and we're asked to water, but God brings the increase. So these things are very important to me. If we do not make it free to all, we'll never reach the highways and the byways. You know, we used to sit in our little comfort zone. Come to our church. If I just get them to church. No, get them to Christ. Amen. That's what people need, is not the church. I've even heard people, if I just get them to the message. It's not getting to the message. It's getting to Christ. Amen. The message points the way to Christ. You've got a wrong vision. It's not right. Never of God. Never was. Now Jesus made it extremely clear when he said this. In John 7:37, this is what he said. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. Now let me say this. He didn't just get up and bring a little casual statement. Now you people assembled here, I want to tell you something that may help you. No, the Bible says he cried, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. You've got to be thirsty to drink. If you're not thirsty, you won't drink. You have to be thirsty. Only God can put that thirst in you.
That's right.
He that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, that's all you have to do is believe on him. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's the Holy Ghost. And that's what the church needs. Every bride member will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You cannot go on a rapture without it. It's the thing that changes you. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal bodies, change you,
give you a glorified body and lift you off the earth. Hallelujah. I'm believing for this. I'm longing for this. I'm craving for it. It cannot be long to go, brother and sister. John 12:46. He says, our Lord, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Isn't that simple? Here, who believes on the Lord this morning? You all believe on the Lord? You people out there believe on the Lord? Then it's for you. Isn't that wonderful? It's not complicated. The Bible says the simple people heard him gladly. The gospel's simple. We complicate it, make it complex. And people don't know anything about knowing the Lord. They know about the Lord, but they don't know the Lord. I know about the President of the United States, but I don't know him. You can know all about God, you can know all about his word and still not know him. You can read it all day long, but it takes the Holy Spirit to come and quicken it, make it real to you. Praise the name of the Lord. So there's no restrictions placed on that invitation. Whomsoever. Whomsoever. Isn't that a beautiful word? Everybody in Gisborne can receive this. He that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I accept the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe on the only begotten Son of God. I believe on him. And it's for me. Is it for you?
Yes.
Every one of you. There's no restrictions placed on it. Just only believe.
Amen.
Lord, I believe. How often we frustrate the grace of God, as Paul said. We frustrate the grace of God. The grace of God is simple. We should be able to go out and just tell people. You know, some people say, well, don't get me wrong, because I don't mean that. People say, I'll give them a tract, or I give them a book or something. That's good, but that's not what he said, in actual fact. He said, go out and be a witness for me. You are living epistles, seen and read of all men. They are looking at your life, not your words. They want to watch your life first. It's really wonderful. This gospel is free, without limitations, to all that thirst. You know, people get hungry for God. They come to church. They feel God's Spirit. They feel the moving of God's Spirit upon them. They want God, and they get sincere. And somebody comes along to them and says, hey, brother, you know, you really need to go a bit deeper than you're at. Now, there's a bit of truth to that. We need to get deeper in the sense of the foundations of the gospel. But they say, oh, do I? Oh. And eventually they lose that simplicity of saying, Lord, I love you and I believe you. And they become complex. And I've got to do this. I've got to receive this word. I've got to understand this revelation. Where's the Bible say that? Jesus said, if you believe on me, thou shalt be saved. Who believes that? By the Holy Spirit too. He does that. So there's no limitations on the thirst. Even the Old Testament foretold of this Holy Ghost experience I'm speaking of. Isaiah 55:1. My, I love the scripture. Ho! Every believer. Didn't say that. Ho! Everyone. Everyone. To whomsoever will. Everyone that thirsteth, come into the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Isn't it wonderful? Free. Jesus is offering it free. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Oh, you've got to live a better life than you're living. You need to straighten yourself up. You'll never do it. People think, if I live a better life, God will accept me. No, he won't. He accepted Jesus Christ as our sacrifice. That's all that cares. That's all that God is looking at. And if you believe Jesus Christ and you're in him, you're abiding in him, then you come under the covenant that he put down, the New Testament covenant.
This is so wonderful, brother and sister. We need to understand these things. The gospel of the kingdom. Now, we should never be afraid, as I said previously, to proclaim this gospel. As Paul the Apostle said in our first reading, Romans 1:16, it just says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Not ashamed of it. It's wonderful that we can share. I'm not ashamed of this gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation. What is the gospel? Is the gospel got power in it? Amen. To change lives. I've just been reading Brother Albert's book, Albert Ruig's book on his life testimony. The first part's gruesome. Terrible. What a worldly ratbag he was, a drunkard. And the Holy Ghost came to him and forgave him of his sin. You know what he did? He couldn't help crying, shouting, screaming, driving his car. Totally transformed. Smoking left him. All these things, which he was a new creature. The gospel has power in it. Wonderful. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm glad there was another flock that Jesus prayed for. I was thinking about that the other day. He said, "Lord," "I have another flock." And he prayed for us. Who's glad he prayed for the Gentiles? So wonderful. Really wonderful. But there's people who are ashamed to preach the gospel anymore. Or they preach everything else, anything else but the gospel. I wonder why things don't happen. It's the power of God unto salvation. We preach the glorious gospel. The power on the cross of Christ is the only thing which can save the soul from a lost eternity. The only thing. Do you believe this?
Yes.
I believe it with all my heart. The only thing that can save a human being is to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. Tell you what, I'm getting myself worked up, I know, but I've got to go out there. I've got to preach it. Mr. Churchill's or not, I'm going to preach it. I've got to preach this gospel. And it'll save a soul from lost eternity and give them a glorious inheritance in the kingdom of God with our Lord. May the Lord help us to be bold and not shun to declare the gospel of our Lord.
Amen.
Now, here's something for you. Jesus said this in Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. You're getting out there and you're speaking to people at work. To your neighbor. People down the street even. Don't be afraid. And he says, if you shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. What a mighty blessing that is. What a mighty blessing. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Brother and sister, don't ever hold back on telling people. You're going to be accountable one day. We're all going to have to give an account. I want to hear my voice preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say this. If you confess him before men, don't expect a welcoming party. You're not going to get enthusiastic applauses like you do down at a soccer match or rugby. No. They don't want to hear it, most. When you go to preach this gospel, it will not be popular.
It will be criticized and spoken against. Jesus and all the prophets suffered the same fate. And brother and sister, you think you can just have an easy life going and just say, I believe the word and all that. Listen, you've got to preach this gospel if you know what it is. I've often said, if you saw a man knocked down off his bike somewhere on the road, he's got 5 minutes to live, can you tell him how to be saved? Can you tell him how to be saved? Think about it. These things are very important. And so, well, I can give him a book, a spoken word book maybe. I can give him a tape or something. Tape. I could give him these things. That hasn't got time. He's got 5 minutes. He's got 3 minutes left. His lungs are filling up with blood. How can you tell him to be saved? Sirs, what must we do to be saved? Can you tell him? Or you've got to hear this message, or you've got to be a Christian for so long. He that believeth on me shall be saved. You say, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you, took your sin? Yes. Then you are saved the minute you believe. But that's not heard anymore. It's all a whole lot of mumbo jumbo. Complicated stuff. You've lost the whole thought. Now, it's very important. Very important. Woe unto you, he said in Luke 6:26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. That's a warning. Oh, he's a lovely brother. Oh, we love to hear him preach. Well, you know, I remember Brother David Mamlin said once, he's on the border. I don't know how you get on today with the war going up. He's on the border with Mexico, and the church is full. He said, Brother Howard, when the church gets too full, I just preach a bit harder. I preach a bit harder and they just leave. But I knew what he was saying. Woe unto men if they speak well of you, for so did the fathers to the false prophets. It's not how well we can speak and how gracious we are. It's whether we're preaching the pure gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 2, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. You know, Brother Branham said a false prophet is a false preacher, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them through the blood of Christ, and bring them upon themselves. I've heard people say things like, unless you receive this message, you cannot be saved. Where's that in the Bible? It's not there. It's nonsense. Never heard Brother Branham teach like that. Now, if you reject God's word, that's another matter. But you need to come to Christ and love him and appreciate his saving grace in your life. Thank you for dying for me, Lord. That's all he requires. All the rest comes later. But the salvation thing needs to be established. And he says, and they denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. It's a warning. And many shall follow, I don't like that word many, but it's everywhere in the Bible. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, as we just think about something else now, the power of this gospel of the kingdom. The power. Who believes there's power in the gospel? Power to change me, change you, Tim. Who felt the changing life when you came to Christ? You know it happened. Something happened to me. Why should we be afraid of the gospel that will set people free? Satan will do all that he can through the influences to discourage us to speak. You know, you don't want to be ashamed of speaking. I'll tell you what, you say, I can't speak. Just open your mouth. The minute you open your mouth, God will fill it. It comes from your heart, brotherly, doesn't it? And when you're speaking to people, that'll change. And they'll know that you know what you're talking about. You haven't learned it in church or studied it and got all the answers. No. It's from your heart. So don't let the devil put you off. The gospel of the kingdom is the only hope of this evil day. I tell you right now, the only hope right now in Gisborne, in New Zealand, and throughout the whole world is to hear the gospel. That's the only thing that can save them. In Mark 16:19, so after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Brother and sister, we should see a sign following word ministry. Who believes that? Amen. If God did it then, he'll do it this morning. Amen. I believe he's here. The gospel has always brought the power of God amongst the people. If we're not seeing it, a life-changing experience through the gospel, then we need to check up, see whether we're not preaching another gospel. As Paul says in Galatians 1, verse 6, I marvel, Paul marvels, what's going on? Talking to believers. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. But he says, which is not another. It's only one gospel. But he says, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you who pervert the gospel of Christ. You know, I hate talking about negative things, and I'm not going to. But I know what people have done with this message and totally corrupted it. Praise God, he has people that believe it just the way it was said. And in the spirit in which it was said. And there's only been one gospel that we should preach. The same gospel that we heard in the beginning. I love that. Let's read this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. It says all through the Bible. People think, oh, we're moving on to something new. No, we're not. We're going back to something old. Malachi 4 was the restoration back to the old. We'll see that. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but the old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which we have heard from the beginning. So I want to read you something Brother Branham said. This is taken from the Rising of the Sun. Now, if there's another gospel, as Paul spoke to one of the groups, we just read it. I'm so surprised, he says, that you are turned to another gospel, which is not another, but a make-believe gospel to a denominational fiction, turning from the good news. And he says, now the very essence of the message that was sent, this is the very essence of the end days message that was sent. Precious 65, this is it. He says, is this, that he's risen from the dead. And, I'm saying this, he came and proved it. He said, the Lord's here, and he'll keep his word, and we're going to do what he says, and God's going to come and confirm it. Do you believe God could do that this morning? Absolutely. He did over in Louisville recently, in a wonderful way, because God keeps his word. And he says that he has risen. That's the very essence of the message. We, his beneficiaries, we who share the resurrection with him, draw benefits from this by proving to the world that he is alive. We cannot do it by word only. Cannot do it by word only. We'll preach it until something. Listen, brothers, this word's very important to preach, but needs the Holy Spirit to mix with it. Faith in our hearts. We cannot do it by some tradition of men. We can only reflect exactly what we're pointing to. And he makes this incredible statement. Brother Brandon makes this statement. He says, I'm afraid today that too many of us are not getting people to Christ. Getting to our creed, to our thoughts, what we want. And he goes on, we're getting them to church.
We're getting into a theory, but we must get them to Christ. He is the only one and the only one that has life. He that hath the Son has life, he says. Another gospel will not produce the power. I'm telling you now. Never do it. What did our Lord Jesus say concerning the gospel? I love this in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach. We need the anointing too. The gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's still the same this morning. Do you want to help people? As we bring this to a close, I want to ask you a question. Do you want to help people? Then we must preach the pure gospel. This message of Malachi 4 was wonderfully sent to us by God. We should be hearing it, you know that. I hear it all the time. Wherever I go, I like to have it. Not because I have to. Not because I'll be in the bride if I do. None of that. I do it because I love it. The message of Malachi 4 was sent to restore our hearts back to the original gospel. Brother Branham made this statement too. Promised again, he says, in Malachi 4, to restore the faith of the children. That's us. We're the children. We're after. To the faith of the Pentecostal fathers, those before the early church. And the original gospel. That's what Malachi 4 does. Let's read it again. Malachi is promised again in Malachi 4 to restore the faith of the children back to the faith of the Pentecostal fathers and the original gospel. He promised it. Hallelujah. And he'll do it. That's right. That simple spirit, not smart, not intellect, he said, not that. In Malachi 4, when he comes, he says it will be after the coming of the last day messenger. He'll turn our hearts of the people back to the original gospel, the faith of the early fathers, that kind that they had in the new church of Jerusalem, he says. That's what we're going back to. And that will be restored in the last days. It'll be a minority group. Tell you something else. His brother was saying, Brother Branham wrote to him and said this, that in the last days, the church will be so small, the bride, they'll meet in homes. That's what he said. And I believe it. I can see it shaping up now. I think we could just about get in one now. But it's true. They went from house to house, breaking bread. So we see, we'll go back to that. Restored back in the last days, it'll be a minority group. So what is this gospel? What is the gospel? People have almost forgotten what the gospel is. We hardly hear it preached anymore. In churches, you don't hear it very often. I'm glad we hear it here. But it is what the people in this dying generation need. The gospel is the good news. It's always been the good news. And it's still the good news this morning that God himself came down in human flesh in his Son Jesus Christ to pay for every sin in our life from the day that we are born until the day we die. Isn't that good news? Who thinks that's good news? I think that's excellent news that he paid for all of our sin from the day we're born until the day he takes us home. Has to. Can't be one left out. every one of them. So I believe in this good news. There's no other way to be a part of his bride through accepting Calvary. Except through Calvary. We've got to come that way. Where we become a new creature in Christ and filled with his life through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's an experience, that's a supernatural experience. As promised to all who believe. Not only that, he's promised us total deliverance. Hallelujah. I believe in a total deliverance through Calvary. Total deliverance. Who believes? Say total deliverance. Total deliverance. He said at Calvary, he said, it is finished. I believe that. Giving sight to the blind, hearing to the bruised, healing to the bruised. This is the gospel we preach and must believe and receive every benefit. Too many believers are living well below their privileges. Well below. What a glorious word has been restored to us on this last day. The same gospel that Paul preached. We should all rejoice. The message of Brother Benham never altered the gospel in any way. Never. Couldn't. Be a servant of Christ. Impossible. When Brother Branham was taken beyond the curtain of time, you know what happened? He was taken up by the Spirit. I'll read what he says. I sat there, and then a voice said, you've been gathered to your people like Jacob was gathered to his people. I said, all these people, are they all Branhams? He said, no. They're your converts to Christ. And I looked around, there's a real pretty woman runs up. She looked real. They were all about the same. She threw her arms around me and she said, oh, my precious brother. You know, brothers, I'm believing to be there. She looked like an angel. And she passed by and the voice said, did you recognize that? Recognize her, sorry. I said, no, I didn't recognize. Said, you'll lead her to Christ when she was past 90. Tell you, what a day. Said, you don't know why she thinks so much. You know why she thinks so much of you. 90 years of age, a Brother Branham led her to the Lord. I said, that pretty girl was past 90? Yep, he said. She never changed. She'll never change no more now. That's the reason she's saying, precious brother. Then he says, these people are your converts that you have led. And I said, do you mean by being a leader, he will judge me? He said, yes. And I said, does every leader have to be judged like that? He said, yes. I'm going to be judged too. All of us are going to be judged. What we have done with this word. I said, what about Paul? He said he'll have to be judged with his. Well, I said, if his group goes in, Paul's group goes in, so will mine. Because I preached exactly the same word. I said, where he baptized in Jesus' name, I did too. And the millions screamed out all at once and said, we're resting in that. Brother Branham preached exactly the same gospel that Paul preached. And so should we be. And all those people beyond in the regions of the redeemed all screamed, we're resting in that you preach the same gospel. And we're preaching it again today. And I pray, brother and sister, that all of us will know what the gospel is without getting too complicated. Watering it down. Saying, oh, that was for another day. Don't ever do that. That's a demon that does that. It's a devil. I just want to encourage us all to be very conscious of this as we come to prayer right now. Let's just stand for prayer. Lord Jesus, we come to Thee. We thank You, Lord, for the blessed old gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. Nothing else can bring us in. We just thank You, Lord, that You did send a word in our day through Your prophet messenger. I know it was sent of God. Not because somebody told me, but I believe it. And Lord, what He preached was to bring us back to the original gospel. As it said in the vision, the people cried out, we're resting in that. Lord, I just pray You'll bless every brother and sister here and the sound of my voice. Those who are listening, may they also examine their hearts and say, what do I really believe? Or have I been taken away with something else that's not the original gospel? It's some other thing that's taken away from it. Lord, help us to go back to that simplicity of Calvary. Walk in the light as He is in the light. And we'll have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, will cleanse us from all sin. Lord, I just pray You'll help us all to hold to the gospel. Lord, for the hour is late. Time's running out. The door of the ark will close soon. And Lord, there'll be no more entrance. It'll be over. Lord, I just pray that we'll be faithful witnesses. May we never be guilty on the day of Your coming to be found that we didn't tell people, our neighbors. We withheld. We were straying from telling them. Oh, God, be merciful unto us. Help us, Lord, to be upfront. I ask this blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless everyone here, Lord, and every brother and sister that's joining with us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a joyful sound. You've heard a joyful sound this morning. It's the same sound that they heard way back in the early church. It's been restored to us in this hour. We have heard a joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every man. Smile and sing and walk away. All the tears our Lord command. Jesus saves. Amen. which represents the Holy Ghost. Anointing with oil, prayer of faith shall save the sick. Nobody else? Thank you, Brother Lee.
Okay. I've just been thinking, you know, just about what Howard's been preaching. It's absolutely and utterly the truth. But, you know, we don't join this church or that church or some other church. And I mean this church. Joining a church you can't anyway on our one, because we don't have a list of names. But we join the family of God. And I thought about that for a while. And just by way of example, we are the sons and daughters of God. Is that correct? Amen. Sons and daughters of God. Now, by example, I'm Lee Searle, and I know that I'm in my father's family. Now, I did wrong things and misunderstood things and did a bit of iniquity and all those sort of things, you know. But my father, naturally, was still my father. And I was the son of my father. And in God, it's the same. We join God's family. He becomes your father. And we all, your sister's the same. And we just hold on to what he said. And you know that God abides within your heart. Why? Because I'm in that family. God chose it. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we're very grateful for the truth that's in the Bible. We absolutely regard the Bible as our absolute. There's no other way around getting into heaven or eternity without Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for being with us and those people that are listening in and the people here in the auditorium. We thank you. Lord, we're just going to go to lunch, and we thank you for the food that you've provided and the fellowship, and we look for the uplift of the Holy Spirit over at the hallway as well. Undertake for us, we pray, and be with the service this afternoon at 1 p.m. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You are dismissed.